Stars Over Paradise. You'll remember when you go away the fragrance of ginger blooms in a white lace. You'll remember the blue of the sea that melts into sapphire at Waikiki. You'll remember the tropical night with native boys singing, the flickering lights of fishermen prowling about on the reef. You'll remember the moon in the trees, the scent of gardenias borne on a breeze. Sunset from Tantalus, soft lullabies. Rainbows at sea, stars over paradise. We present a series of typical scenes from Stars Over Paradise, a new dramatic show with music, the love story of Sandra Barton and Stephen Westbrook against the incomparably colorful background of Oahu and other islands of the Hawaiian group, of their native friends, Nani and William Kulani, and the many other adventurous souls and irresolute wanderers found here. But we'll not go into detail now, for plot synopsis is available for your examination. And so, without more ado, we offer a scene which features Sandra and introduces Nani and William. A week ago, Sandra had the last of many quarrels with Gordon, her worthless playboy husband, and left their New York apartment to visit the Honolulu pineapple plantation, recently willed to her by her late father, hoping that the peaceful surroundings of her childhood will inspire her to think things out and find a happier solution than divorce for her unhappy problem. In San Francisco, she unexpectedly met Nani, the Hawaiian girl who was her childhood playmate and later her schoolmate on the mainland. Nani, too, was about to return to the island after a brief visit to California. So they are sharing a stateroom on the boat now 2 days out. As this scene opens, they are just concluding a game of shuffleboard on deck.
Sandra, if you knock that five out, I've lost the game.
I'll get it out. Just watch me.
Oh, are you lucky?
Wait a minute, it's still rolling.
Oh, it hit that man over there.
I believe this belongs to you, Willie. The government should order some of these and place you in training.
Why, it's Whitman.
I'm terribly sorry.
I didn't know you were on the boat.
So you two know each other?
Yes, we do.
Well, that's a relief. Maybe the gentleman won't have me arrested for assault and battery after all.
Mrs. Barton, may I present Mr. Kulani?
Well, we can't say how do you do formally, Mr. Kulani, when I've just assaulted you.
Well, anyway, I'm delighted to meet you.
Sandra, we'd better turn in these sticks. Those people are waiting to play.
Well, here, I'll take them over.
Thank you. Thank you, William.
It's not safe to let you two play anyway. The boat isn't large enough.
Oh, I'm terribly embarrassed, Mom. Oh, you needn't be. It'll do William good to be thrown for a loss. He's a very, very proper person. Oh, Nani, I'm actually enjoying this trip. Last week, I didn't think I'd ever want to laugh again.
All you needed was to get away from Gordon. From what I can gather about him, I know darn well I wouldn't want him for a husband.
It begins to seem like a nightmare. My leaving him? In fact, our whole brief marriage.
Try not to worry, dear. It won't help. Oh, here comes William. Let's go down.
Let's go down where?
Well, Sandra and I are all worn out from our shuffleboard, and we need some sleep before dinner.
Maybe you do, Nanny, but I feel grand. I want to stay up on deck and read.
Well, I have to see a man about some cigarettes, but if I may, Mrs. Barton, I'd like to come back and continue our conversation.
Why, certainly.
Well, so long, bookworm.
Goodbye, honey.
Oh, are you walking around this way?
Yes, my deck chair is on the other side.
Oh, I see. Well, I can take this route, too, if I may.
Certainly.
Mrs. Barton, you may not remember it, but we've met before.
No, I don't remember. Where was it?
You were recklessly parting with $5 at a gaming table in Monte Carlo. Now, if I hadn't known better, I would have thought you couldn't afford to lose the money.
Oh, I remember. That was the night we eluded our chaperones and did Monte Carlo in half an hour.
Yes, that was rather obvious. You were terribly young.
I guess I was. But where do you come in?
Oh, I was just part of the local color.
But you're an Hawaiian, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I always think of Hawaiians as being in the island.
Well, they are, but some of us get away sometimes.
Oh, I don't see why. If I were born in such a lovely place, I don't believe I'd ever leave.
But you did.
Only because Dad had to move back to New York to attend to his business.
And you for social reasons.
Yes. Mother thought she had bigger and better things in store for me.
Mm-hmm. I read of your marriage.
Many things have happened to me since you saw me at Monte Carlo.
For which you have my sincere aloha.
You do read the papers.
Oh, yes, but I don't believe everything they say. You're not a typical society girl. You're capable of profound thinking.
Oh, that's a rather large order, Mr. Kulani.
No, I don't think so. And now you're on your way back to Hawaii, huh?
Yes. I was happy there as a little girl. Is it Freud who said that when thwarted, we return to the familiar scenes of our childhood?
Well, that isn't exactly the way he put it, but I know what you mean. In Hawaii, we are happy. For there, the flower of love has leisure for growing. And the very name, Honolulu, means abundance of peace.
You're quite understanding. You don't run a Lonely Hearts column, do you?
Oh, no. No, my life is far more complicated than that. I am a professor of romance languages at the University of Hawaii.
Well, I'll be darned, and I hit you.
Oh, that's quite all right. I enjoy talking with you. You know, I met your father once. He was a grand person.
You did? When?
One time when he gave an endowment to the university.
Oh, yes.
Say, what are you doing with the travel folders? You're not a tourist, Malahini.
Travel folders? Where?
Well, there it is, sticking out of that book. There, under your arm.
Oh, so it is. Don't you know that most of the Hawaiian travel folders go to homesick natives, Tama'ainis, like yourself? They use them for dreaming over.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, it's true. And now I have a question.
At your service.
You weren't by any chance hoping to be hit while Nani and I were playing shuffleboard.
You guessed it. I was.
I thought so.
It seemed the quickest way of breaking up the game so Nana could introduce us. My own little line of ho, molly, molly.
It worked out very well, didn't it? Ho, molly, molly, indeed. Well, here we are. This is my chair. Now you can get your cigarette.
Well, I'd rather stay and talk with you and forego smoking if you'll give up your reading.
I'm afraid I've pretty well run out of conversation. You won't find me very good company now.
As you wish, Mrs. Barton. After all, this is only the second day out, and we'll both be in Honolulu for a long time.
Thus did Sandra meet William Gulani, who does not figure largely in our story until the situation between Sandra and Stephen Westbrook is firmly established. But that comes later. At present, we want you to meet Gordon, the playboy husband, and Steve, the hero of our tale, manager of Sandra's pineapple plantation. Now, the situation is not pleasant. Gordon, who has been served with divorce papers in New York, has suddenly flown in from the mainland, unannounced, unreformed, and a bit drunk. He's made things so embarrassing and painful for Sandra that Ah Pan, the faithful old Chinese cook, has taken it upon himself to run for Steve, who is even now on his way to the big house. Here we find the quarrel still in progress.
So you're still determined to get a divorce in spite of all I've said?
Yes, I am, Gordon.
If I had come in and found the setup here, I'd say we're being a typical Victorian prude. You have a nerve criticizing my friend.
I don't owe you an explanation, Gordon. And it's beside the point to go over and over the
What do you mean you don't owe me an explanation? I come all the way out here to find out why my fool wife's getting a divorce and what she's doing. I asked you.
Stop it. I've asked you to go. There's nothing more for us to say.
Oh, isn't there? Has it occurred to you that I can enter a countersuit? Smear your name all over the papers from one end of the country to the other?
You know you can't, Gordon. I'm here, yes, learning to run the plantation. Huh. Please let me finish. Steve is the manager, and a darn good one whom Dad's here. We are surrounded by servants, men and women who've known me a long time.
You expect me to believe that?
I think that you'd better go, Gordon.
I'll have one of the men drive you into town.
Well, thank you so much for the Southern hospitality.
I said I'd have someone drive you into Honolulu.
Oh, you did you? Come back here and sit down. I want to talk to you. I haven't even begun to tell you what I think of you. As for leaving tonight, that's out till you come to your senses.
Please keep your voice down, Gordon.
I know. They're sneaking all around the place. Well, they're welcome to hear what I have to say. When I married you, I gave you one of the finest family names in America.
Pardon me, Sandra. I found that you wanted to see me.
Why, Steve, I just... Oh, yes. I do want to talk to you.
My wife is Mrs. Barton to you, and you can get out.
Now, let's get this straight. I'm taking orders from Sandra.
Oh, you are.
Steve, this is Gordon Barton, my husband.
I can't say...
Get out!
Sounds like a broken phonograph record.
I'm sorry, Steve, that you had to hear this. Please, Gordon, please go before we say any more that we'll regret.
You'll regret more than you know. I'm not leaving, and when I get through with you, you'll
now
find...
Now, that's enough of that. You better go out and take a walk and cool off.
Don't you touch me, I'll...
All right. I'll let you and Sandra have your little tater cake. But I'm not going into the city tonight. I'll be back.
One more minute, not a knock.
Oh, it wouldn't have helped matters any. This is a mess.
Sit down, Sam, and try to relax a little. You can handle this all right.
I'm glad that you are here, Steve. I feel so much safer.
You should.
I do feel better.
Sitting on the floor?
Yes. He insists on staying all night.
Well, that's fine. I'm staying, too. Right here in this chair.
Oh, but Steve...
Now, don't worry. It'll be all right. Offhand's going to be around.
Gordon's rotten when he's been drinking.
He won't have a chance to be tonight. The boys are taking him to my bunkhouse. If he does come back here, I'll take care of him. Sandra, how you happen to marry that big adolescent full of crack pamphlet idiot beyond me?
It's a long story, Steve. I'll tell you sometime when I'm not too jittery. It's all tied up with Dad's death, Mother's nagging. Oh, and my infernal desire to reform people. Gordon loved me very much. Emma's very sweet before we were married.
Yeah. I gather you are stubborn.
Steve, if you start being cross and sarcastic now, I'll blow up. I can't stand anymore tonight.
Oh, of course you can. I'm sorry.
You'd better not be too sweet or I might cry again. You don't like weeping females.
Correct. How'd you figure that out?
It's like a lot of things about you. I just know.
Are you getting sentimental?
No. You don't like me to.
Right. Told you that.
Yes, Steve. You've rather stressed the things about me that you don't like.
I've had to. It's safer that way.
Safer?
Oh. Sandra, you're very sweet. Been a little difficult, being father, brother, and a good companion to you.
Why, Steve?
More than difficult. We've ridden together all over these islands we both love. We've swum in an ocean so cold and blue, even as if we had no body. We've talked. Tried to straighten you out on a number of things. Here we are.
Yes. Not exactly where we started, but a long way from what we both want.
I see. Now, I want you to go upstairs and try to get some sleep.
I'm not sleepy. I want to stay up and talk to you.
I'll be taking Gordon into town tomorrow morning, so you don't need to come down till 9.
Oh. Good night.
Good night.
I'm grateful to you. Just knowing that we're on the same earth as me.
Good night, Sandra.
Good night.
Thank you.
As soon as Sandra told Steve that she was divorcing Gordon, Steve's attentions unaccountably ceased. Sandra was hurt and bewildered. As the following scene opens, she has decided to return to New York. Stephen has to visit a neighboring island, Maui, on business, knowing that if Sandra keeps her threat, she'll be gone when he returns. Sandra watched him ride away. Long after he was gone, she was still sitting on the lanai, gazing at the sweet, fragrant flowers he'd given her, the pungent pikaki. Suddenly, she picked up the flowers, rose impatiently, and started to throw them on the ground. And then, just as suddenly, changed her mind and took them into the house, where she placed them tenderly in a vase of water. It was a few minutes after this that Nani came in.
Wish I had to go to the run. Too many butterflies in it. Can't you smoke some polyxander?
There in the medicine cabinet.
Still planning to leave?
Yes, Nani.
Who sent the flowers? Steve?
Yes.
Oh, I wish you could talk to my tutu. She is so wise.
It's easy to be wise, Nani, when one is as old as your grandmother. The fires are all burned out, then.
I know what she'd say to you. Don't be foolish, child. Your pride is hurt. The many who make, the little brown men, bring your basket of real love but once. Know them when they come.
That sounds very pretty.
Oh, Sandra, know the many who make when they come. Don't pass love by.
Don't be foolish, Nani, I won't. If it ever shows up.
The whole thing's impossible with Steve.
Well, isn't it?
It isn't. Steve has a good reason for waiting. Oh, if he were my Tawny, Sandra, I wouldn't let him go for anything. When a man like Steve stays faithful to a girl as he has to you, the many Hoonays have brought her basket.
We haven't time to tell you all that we'd like to about Nani. In the early script, she appears as singer with a native musician at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel and visits her friend Sandra at the plantation. Nani's songs, in both Hawaiian and English, are a feature of many of these programs.
Aloha ia no o Maui, kahanga o te ilani.
Return to New York. She changes her mind, moves into Honolulu, shares Nani's apartment, and accepts a teaching position at the university, where she's thrown into daily contact with William Kulani. And then things really happen. Rebuffed by Steve, Sandra turns to William for companionship and is unpleasantly surprised at his overtures. Finally, she has to call upon Steve, who saved the situation. William simply hadn't understood Sandra. What she had considered harmless flirting, he had mistaken for something more serious. However, we are still wondering why Steve, obviously in love with Sandra, has not proposed. Sandra wonders, too. And that brings us to our final scene. It is twilight. Steve and Sandra are in a small outrigger canoe on one of the many inland streams of the Garden Island, Kauai, the oldest in the Hawaiian group, where they've been enjoying some of the many luxuriant flowers found nowhere else in the world. From the distance, the music of beach boys can be heard. Steve lazily dips his paddles into the water and smiles at Sandra.
This is one of the nights in my life, Steve, and I'm particularly glad to be alive.
What could be taken as a compliment? That, the mist in your eyes.
It's the end of the world here, darling.
And the beginning. Comfortable? Need another pillow?
It's heavenly. to use an original expression. Oh, I like lying here watching the clouds move by. Look, the stars are coming out. Mm-hmm. I always feel that time stops when the stars and the sun are both in the sky. Remember, here where the day and night divide the sky and color floods the southern cross.
Earth pauses for a moment on its way. Here people are unfolding leaves, whom chance outwits and God deceives. Nice line.
Mm-hmm. I feel rested tonight and at peace with the world. And yet this afternoon when we were swimming, I wanted to run for miles along the beach with the wind blowing my hair. I wanted to hold your hand and not let it go ever.
That's a dangerous feeling, dear.
I know, but it was such a lovely feeling. I wanted to tell you.
Thank you, darling. I understand. That's the way I felt last night. When we stood in the parley and looked down at the little twinkling lights, I found it easy to believe the old myth of the creation.
About Kelly?
No, silly. The creation. Look here. You heard it.
No, I haven't. What is it?
Well, the old natives have the Luna Lila Holmes say that Vakea, the beginning, took for a wife the earth. And they lived in darkness until she produced a gourd calabash. Vakea threw its cover into the air, and it became heaven. The pulp and seeds formed the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The juice was the rain. Out of the bowl, the land and sea were created. They lived in this country and called it Hawaii, the bright land.
Oh, Steve, I love being with you. I love your thoughts and the way your eyes shine when you talk to me.
Sandra.
Yes?
How long have we known each other?
7 months and 3 days. No, always.
I know.
Steve, you're not the sort of person to be afraid of anything. Really afraid. What is it? What is it that hurts you so terribly when you take me in your arms?
That's what I must try to tell you tonight while we're out here, as you said, at the end of the world. But first, I'd like to just drift along, look at you and the colors and the sky and flowers. I'll need the peace of this hour. I'll need the memory of your eyes.
Go on, dear.
Life really began for me when I started loving you.
And yet you've told me of your love in such strange ways. Never in words. By being rude at times. By keeping me out of trouble. By wanting me to be happy and interested in the life about me. As you said, by keeping my joie de vivre.
That's all a part of it, of my loving you.
Why didn't you tell me a long time ago?
I couldn't. And I have no right to now, unless loving you above everything else on earth gives me that right.
I'm a little frightened now, darling. Hold on to this moment. I know now it will never return. Whatever it is that's keeping you from me, I must know. But first I want to count over all the things that are ours and will remain ours to the end of our lives.
The closeness of our thinking.
More than that, our honesty. I've always been myself with you, Steve. I've spoken my thoughts aloud to you. And even when they've remained unspoken, you have answered. You've given me strength and taught me wisdom. You've given me happiness. And unhappiness.
Please don't, darling. It makes what I have to tell you 1,000 times more difficult.
I'm sorry.
It happened a long time ago. Now it's as though it happened to someone else.
You were married.
Yes.
She must have been a very wonderful person for you to have loved her so deeply.
I didn't love her. I don't love her now.
What are you saying, Steve?
Just that. I've never loved my wife.
She's still living?
Yes.
Oh, my darling.
We We thought it was love. That seems to be a common failing of a man when he's young and filled with desire. We'd been married almost a year when Betty began to have violent headaches. One of my colleagues discovered a growth of fibrous tissue at the base of her brain. We operated.
You operate?
Yes, that's part of my story.
You're a surgeon, Steve. Oh, I should have known. So many things. You knew just what to do when Nani hurt her arm. What wasn't the operation? Didn't it help?
For a while. Just a few months. Some of the cells of the brain had been injured. I never was certain whether by the tumor or by my scalpel.
You stopped your work then?
Yes. I started wandering about the world after we put Betty in the sanitarium. China, India, Africa. Doing any kind of work to keep me going.
Oh, Steve. What about us now?
There's nothing for us, darling. It's still possible that the injured brain tissue may heal. It's been 11 years and some improvement.
That's why you went back to the mainland.
Yes, I go back twice a year. The last time she recognized me for the first time in 7 years.
Oh, Steve. Steve, darling, I didn't know it would be like this.
Oh, my dear, please don't cry now.
I won't cry. I can't. I wish I didn't have to know, but I do. And I guess I understand.
My life is you, Sandra. Rather than tell you about the past and the barriers between us, I tried making you hate me again and again. I couldn't stay away from you. I needed you.
What can I do?
Nothing. Nothing, darling.
I won't give you up. I'll...
Hush. Yes, you will, dearest. You're young and dear and brave.
Never. I've always wanted you.
I know. There, darling.
Don't worry. I won't cry. That's one of the things you don't like. At least I've learned that. I can probably learn not to love you, too. Anyway, I can refrain from letting you know. Please. Help me. Help me. I love you.
We hope we have given you a reasonably accurate picture of what to expect from Stars Over Paradise. If so, you can readily see the added entertainment value of such a story in such a setting. Adventurous, fabulous, full of warm sympathy and interesting observations. Handled with a deftness that has gained for Maxine Merchant a real position in the writing world, and with the thoroughly authentic music of our native musicians. That such a program will contrast favorably with the hackneyed blood and thunder situations and characters of the average script should be apparent. We hope you found our sample sufficiently interesting and entertaining to want to know more about Stars Over Paradise. This is Jack Brinkley speaking. Thank you very much. And aloha, nui, loa. We hope we have given you a reasonably accurate picture of what to expect from Stars Over Paradise. If so, you can readily see the added entertainment value of such a story in such a technicolor setting. Adventurous, fabulous, full of warm sympathy and interesting observations. Deftly written by Maxine Merchant and with the thoroughly authentic music of our native musicians. That such a program will contrast favorably with the hackneyed situations and characters of the average script should be apparent. We hope you found our sample sufficiently interesting and entertaining to
to want to know more about Stars Over Paradise. This is Jack Brinkley speaking. Thank you very much, and aloha.